The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. It is on page 91 of the New Testament of the Korean Bible. Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. Allow me to read the words of God. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." Amen. Thanks to the 4 months of sabbatical you have granted to me with expectant hearts, I have spent it well and returned. As the sabbatical began, I thought if the COVID-19 situation got better and we were able to live a new normal life, then I hoped the spectrum of my faith and life would also mature and grow. However, COVID-19 situation did not get better. So I soon realized God wants my faith and life to be deeper than wider. So I spent more time with my family, and it was the most meaningful time than any other time of my life. When you live as a pastor, the opportunity to worship together in the pew of the church with your family is very limited. So it was a great joy to attend the first worship service with my family every Sunday for the past 4 months. Moreover, the fact that the with corona phase has started on November 1st, the day of my return, also feels like it's a message from the Lord, telling me to walk with the Lord and His people and serve them. So I'm moved and grateful to return to serve during the period of with corona, the new normal. Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 3. Before leaving for sabbatical, I shared up to chapter 21, so you may wonder why we're looking at chapter 3. When I served as one of the main pastors, I also shared sermons on the Gospel of Luke from chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 3, verse 36. Then in 2016 and 2017, I also served at the Korean Martyrs Memorial Hall, another place of saints that our church serves, along with the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery. In those 2 years, full-time pastors took turns to deliver Sunday sermons once a month, covering from Luke chapter 3, verse 8, to chapter 8, verse 25. Then in 2018, I resumed covering messages after that part of Luke. It is a precious spiritual experience to deliver messages on the same book in the Bible among many pastors taking turns. However, to keep the flow, it is more appropriate for one pastor to cover the entire book. So I have been thinking of covering this part again after completing the Gospel of Luke. However, Pastor Yeongnan delivered a beautiful message on chapter 26 in the Gospel of Matthew. The message in Luke 22 has a similar story as Matthew's chapter 26. Then, I will be repeating the message, so I'd like to deliver sermons on chapter 3, verse 7 to chapter 8, verse 25, which I could not deliver previously, and then continue to deliver messages on chapters 22 to 24. Squid Game, a drama TV series on Netflix, has been a worldwide sensation, receiving recognition from many countries around the world. Not only people are watching the series with subtitles or watching the dubbed version, but some TV shows are also creating games similar to the drama series, or some companies have even created real-life sets for people to play the game in person. Some people have even started wearing clothing similar to characters in the TV series and DIY kits to bake Korean sweets used in the TV series are being sold in large numbers. People around my age will be familiar with many of the games played in the series. Not only did we play the Squid Game, which was also called Squid Dalguji, a dialect of Gyeongsang Province, but we also played Dalgona Candy, Mugunga Gochi Piyasumida, which is red light and green light in the U.S., and Marbles Game. Many people have already seen the drama and will have heard about it directly or indirectly, so I will not go into the details. But there's one clear secular value expressed in the TV series. It is that the strongest wins and takes all. The master of the games calls upon 456 people who have failed economically or socially, and also marginalized people, such as North Korean defectors and overseas workers. They are to compete for their lives, and only the last survivor receives 45.6 million won, which is 0.1 million won per person. In the first round, when the it person turns around, anyone who moves is killed. And 255 out of 456 people end up dying. The image of the scene is quite shocking. Participants express anger at how people can be killed, but when the reward money equivalent to the number of deaths, 25.5 million won, are rained upon them from a transparent piggyback bank in the air, people are left speechless. It was shocking to see that people's judgment became obtuse in front of so much money, but what was even more shocking for me to see was how people started to fight due to the small portion of the meal, and one participant ends up killing another person. I thought 0.2 million won would be subtracted from the total reward money, but rather the reward money increased by 0.1 million won. It was okay for a participant to kill another person. So to stay in the game, you had to not only win the game, but also protect yourself from harm from others, resulting in the ultimate survival game. Not only in the Squid Game, but today's world also seems to be dominated by the paradigm winner takes all. It is so for the stock market and many platform businesses. There are many auditions for singers on TV, and there are many genres of music covered, but the reward money is given only to the number one winner. The winner takes all. It is rare to see the reward money being shared by adequate proportion to all participants. The talent gap between number one and number two may not be so big, while the preference of fans may be a bit different. Actually, for any discipline, it is the same if we compare the capability of number one and that of number two. Some aspect may stand out a little bit more. So one comedian, after drinking alcohol, said in a TV show, "This dirty world only remembers number one." A good society shares with one another rather than number one hoarding all. It is the proper attitude of life and faith to acknowledge that there are things we need to take and while other people also need to take. There's another point that is extremely disturbing near the end of the TV series. The main character, the survivor who received all the reward money, repeatedly asked, "Why did you do this?" Then the game architect says, "Do you know what is similar between the poor and the rich? Life is not fun anymore. When we were little, it was fun, just hanging out with our friends, not even realizing how time passes by quickly. I wanted to feel that once more before dying, the feeling you cannot get from the gallery. I wondered, is it okay to do such a thing if you have a lot of wealth? Economics is not a tool to play around with people's lives. However, it is easy to mistreat others with what they own, their status, and power. Yet a person's faith or character is not more noble because one has more. Today's scripture testifies not about what we need to have more, but about who we need to be. Chapter 3 of the Gospel of Luke starts by testifying about John the Baptist, who had received the calling to testify about the coming of Christ. The situation was like this. Luke chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Lysianus Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Tiberius, the second emperor of the Roman Empire, was the second emperor of the Roman Empire. Pontius Pilate was the fifth governor of Judea, appointed by Tiberius Caesar. Moreover, Herod, Philip, and Lysianus were tetrarchs ruling over Israel. Tetrarch literally means a king that rules over one-fourth of a kingdom. Annas and Caiaphas were high priests who were the number one religious leaders. And also, Israelites could not think of life without religion, so these leaders had great influence. All these leaders were at the time the most successful people, and they owned much and enjoyed much. However, they may have received much spotlight from others, but they did not from God. God's camera was shedding light on John the Baptist in the wilderness. John the Baptist in the wilderness did not cry out that God has abandoned or given up on his people, but that he still loves them and is waiting for them with open arms. If God had abandoned or given up on his people, he would have not entrusted the calling to prepare the path of Jesus to John or sent his son to the world. John baptized people for repentance as an expression of God's love and waiting. To be baptized is to confess that you are a worthless being and cannot do anything with your power, and determine to regard God, to take God as the master of your life. But John called the people who are waiting to be baptized in a different manner. Let's look at verse 7 through 9 in today's text. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." John called the crowds waiting to be baptized as brood of vipers. We cannot fathom how strong this name is. Instead, we are more familiar with the B word or the F word. Brood of vipers signify the children of Satan, the viper that tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. people who were coming out to be baptized were thinking that they are descendants of Abraham. However, John was saying that they are brood of vipers. The Gospel of Matthew testifies that they are Pharisees and Sadducees. Pharisees, which literally means people who are set apart, had volunteered to be devoted to the law. They are people dedicated to the law, so they copied the law, taught the law, and tried to strictly apply the law. Moreover, the Sanhedrin Council of Israel had a role similar to the Congress at the time, and most of the people in the council were Pharisees and Sadducees. At the time, Pharisees not only paid a tithe for their income, but also for vegetables that they had farmed to eat, such as cucumber, eggplant, pepper, and lettuce, in the plot of land nearby their house. And they also fasted twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays because Moses had gone up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments and came down on those days. So they were regarded as holy people by others around them. However, they had been rebuked by John because they enjoyed judging other people who did not live like them as they claimed to serve God. Pharisees may have been respected by people for their religion, but in terms of income level, they were middle class. On the other hand, Sadducees, who are descendants of Zadok, a high priest in David's time, were among the richest class, and they also had significant authority. So they considered the world of the earth as more important than the kingdom of God. And so they enjoyed the current life and could not believe in resurrection. Lives of Pharisees and Sadducees were like this. While they were externally descendants of Abraham and people of God, their inside persons were entirely different. Some people paid attention to John's strong rebuke. So they asked him a question and John answered. Verse 10 and 11, "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Here, the shirt refers to an undergarment with short sleeves and knee length. We do not wear several undergarments at the same time. So this means that you should share what you don't wear and use with other people. It is the same with food. Even if we eat really delicious food, it is for one day, not for 1 week or month. If we have enough food to eat and someone next door is starving, then we should share with them. Due to COVID-19, we are unable to share things in person, but our church keeps the first Sunday as the Sharing Sunday. The meaning of Sharing Sunday is not just about bringing things to share with our neighbors when you have extra. The ramen, rice, and cans we bring may be a bit helpful to those in need. However, as we share with others, we also experience the grace of God in our lives and faith. When we buy something for others, not for myself, from the market, that means we have space in our hearts and lives for our neighbors, and that we have the heart to obey God's words. So when our child or family sees that we have bought food for our neighbor, stored in our house or car, it is much stronger lesson learned than 100 words delivered to them. On a sharing Sunday, we are blessed more as we give than when we received, as Jesus said. So it gives a fuller meaning to us than those who will receive our things. Among those who came to John to be baptized, there were also tax collectors. John told and encouraged them like this in verse 12 and 13. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you're required to, he told them. Tax collectors were appointed by the Roman Empire, and one became a tax collector through a bidding system. For example, if there's an announcement to select a tax collector in the Mapo district, where our church is located, then anyone who wanted to be a tax collector would write down how much he could collect. The person who wrote the highest amount became the tax collector for the district. Since tax collectors did not receive a separate wage, the amount he wrote down to collect was sent to the government, and any extra amount became his income. At the time, most collectors took in too much tax. Since they collected tax and sent it to the Roman government, they were treated as traitors, and they were also referred to as robbers with a license, since they collected exorbitant amounts. The chief tax collector of Jericho, Zacchaeus, promised to Jesus, who visited his house, I will repay 4 times the amount that I have taken by lying to someone. Tax collectors tended to gain profit by receiving in-kind payments rather than taxes, and also lent money at high interest rates for those who cannot repay. Tax collectors did not take exorbitant amounts to avoid income poverty. They collected such amounts because they thought other people would not look down upon them if they have considerable wealth. So they tried to maximize the amount they could charge. To such tax collectors, John told them not to collect more than they are required to. How shocking would this message be to tax collectors who are called merciless and slaves of greed if they are to collect only the proper amount? That one person can change the society of tax collectors, and because of that one person, the evaluation of tax collectors could change. Moreover, when soldiers asked John a question, he replied like this, in verse 14 and 14. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money, and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pain. Soldiers in this text were Jewish soldiers in charge of Jewish safety. They were responsible like the soldiers of today. Yet soldiers sometimes helped tax collectors to receive payment. They also extorted large amounts. The word extort means to shake one by their collar. So when people could not pay up the high sum charged by tax collectors, soldiers did not help them but actually bullied them. They were like problem solvers for tax collectors. Moreover, John told them not to accuse people falsely in today's text, which uses the same verb when Zacchaeus told Jesus that he will pay up four times the amount if he had lied to take money. At the time, soldiers had threatened and lied to send people that they will send people to jail using their authority if people said that they did not have enough money to pay. At the time, Israel was a colony of the Roman Empire, so they could not even have a proper army. So it is unlikely that these soldiers were being paid sufficiently. Yet John told them, "Do not oppress others with the power you have, and learn to be content with your pay." If a person can earn much profit with the power they have, but do not do so, then it can send a strong message to other people. Even though you are CEO or a high-ranking official, but you do not seek your own benefit or desire and live properly in front of God, then no message will be stronger. People will think, this person does not live by the power or strength of money or authority, and rather lives by the power of God. There is an important point to remember from what John the Baptist told tax collectors and soldiers. At the time, both occupations were not respected by people. Tax collectors were especially looked down upon. They could not even go into the temple or the synagogue. People also looked down upon family members of tax collectors. Yet John did not tell them to leave their job, but rather to act properly there. When you work, you may find that certain aspects of your job are corrupt. You may feel bad to be there due to your conscience of faith. Even so, do not leave your job right away. If you leave, that place will not get better. Someone else may take your place and continue to practice corruption without qualms. If God, who guides us, sent you to that place, then it will be because there is something we must do that no other person can in that place. We must find out what we need to do to renew the place. To summarize John's message into one sentence, it would be, reap good fruit. When we hear the word fruit, the first verse that comes to mind is probably those in Galatians chapter 5 on the fruit of the Spirit. Verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. To bear the fruit of the Spirit does not mean that we have fruit hanging on the tree of our life and faith. If the fruit of the Spirit is becoming ripe in our faith and lives, then it signifies we are living by the Holy Spirit. If the desires and secular values are coming to fruition in our lives and faith, then we are not living by the Holy Spirit. These verses highlight that the important aspect is whether we are living by the Holy Spirit, not the fruit itself, which is a result of following the Holy Spirit. Jesus also delivered this message in the Sermon of the Mount, on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 to 18. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. A tree that bears good fruit is surely a good tree, and the tree that bears bad fruit is surely a bad tree. So Jesus tells us to be a good tree that bears good fruit. A tree that with much fruit looks beautiful, but we can't hang fruit on its branches. A good tree is made from the inside, not the outside. So it is foolish to care for only the external beauty, which is impermanent. Taking care of our body is beautiful and important. But what is more important than the outside person is the inside person. It is the inside person who makes major decisions, ones of faith. And the outside person lives in the world, but the inside person helps the outside person to walk the proper path. When each one of us takes out the last breath in front of God on this earth, then our lives will not be judged by what our job was, how much we accomplished, or how much we owned. We will be evaluated by whether we were like the children of God and how faithful we were to God's calling. According to today's text, we will be evaluated by whether we matured into a good tree and what kind of fruit came to fruition on the tree. Then how do we mature and grow into a good tree with good fruit? It is when we worship God in the Spirit and in the truth every day. So whether we're living with COVID or post-COVID, life as worship and worship as life should be fulfilled faithfully. For us to live like so, the Holy Spirit is with us right now. Let us pray. Father God, there are times when we want to be the number one person, as in the Squid Game, and maybe even the game architect that had much wealth. Forgive our foolishness of holding on to these meaningless thoughts. If we can own more in the places granted to us by God, may we realize that there is a portion we should share with our neighbors, not just hoarding it for ourselves. If we have some power to exert, may we not use it for ourselves or oppressing others, but to lift up others and serve them. As our days add up, may we become good and faithful tree so that we bear good fruit in our lives and faith, the fruit of the Spirit. For us to live like so, may our everyday be worship in the Spirit and in the truth. May life as worship and worship as life be our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.